Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:44, 16 till 7. We are live here at the Convention Center, Radio Row. I know the NFL traffic is going to build up later on. We'll grab some people as they walk by. And go to NFL One Pass. Go get the NFL One Pass app. And it'll get alerts on everything that's going on throughout the day. I signed up for that. That's the official site of the National Football League, and it'll keep you in tune with everything that's happening. Mike Strain joins us now, Louisiana Commissioner of Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike Strain?
Man, I am doing well. I bet you're telling everybody to go down and get some good seafood, you know, to go down to one of the Brennan's restaurants. Or there's so many to choose from, or Drago's. I mean, you're very close to Drago's. Tommy's right there in the hotel. And just, look, now is the time, right? All these people coming in, they want genuine Louisiana seafood, some of those big oyster and shrimp po'boys. And, you know, and maybe a little crawfish etouffee, a little fried catfish. They want that total experience. And I know you are busy. So, man, thank goodness. I sure hate to know I have to drive to come see you today. But I think it's going to be great. It's going to be a great weekend. And I saw in one article that they estimated that 500,000 pounds of just soft-shell crabs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just incredible. Oh, what? Soft-shell crab, po' boy? The problem is, once these people from all over the United States come here and eat, you know, they're going to come back on a regular basis.
That's good.
Yes.
That's what we want.
Absolutely. That's what we say. We will eat all weekend, and then we'll sell some of the rest.
There you go. Well, it happens with crabs in Maryland. You know that. Maybe sometimes we sell what we could eat.
That's our crabs in Maryland.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
We fish them here and send them up there.
And bid on number ones.
Maryland crabs.
What those big giant ones? Number ones, they call them? Hard to get the number one.
Right. They are beautiful.
Let's talk about bird flu before we go any further, because now we're hearing about bird flu in Nevada and making a reference to Louisiana. What's going on with bird flu, and what could this mean in terms of poultry and egg prices, and then how do you prevent it from spreading, all that? Mike, we've been talking about this for a long time.
Yes. The situation is that there are now, as of today, 4 new herds in Nevada that have the same strain. They're called clades. Same strain of virus that was found in Louisiana, in which the gentleman, passed away. And it's a new strain. This is the first time, though, it's ever been seen in cattle. And it's D1.1. And the issue is these cattle are now getting sick with respiratory signs. So this virus tends to want to mutate in different areas to this particular strain. That's one of the things with the flu virus. It will mutate, or we call it reassort, and we're very concerned now because this particular strain is more conducive to causing the cattle to get really sick with respiratory signs, but also to infect people. So good biosecurity is the key, and we're also hoping that we push through and get a vaccine where we can vaccinate our livestock, our poultry, you know, our cattle, and the farm workers that are exposed. And so, again, we're going to keep a close eye on this one because with the bird flu that just started, you know, the original bird flu started in 3 herds in the Texas Panhandle. and it was a different strain. But now it's in you know, almost 1,000 herds, you know, in 20 states. And so it's something we got to take this serious. You know, we just can't turn a blind eye, and we need all the science. But we're going to have to make some hard decisions, you know, if we need to, you know. So we've got to stop transmission. And look, I'm in favor of vaccinating the wild birds, you know, and that's been discussed, you know, that when those birds, ducks go into Canada to use, you know, fogging machines or whatever to try to vaccinate them. So, you know, we are concerned. We don't have that in Louisiana. But the issue is this is not a strain of the virus that we are comfortable with being in the environment.
So when you say push through, are you talking about push through regulations, push through scientific research? Because we've heard so much about
above.
Okay, so we've heard so much about vaccines with RFK Jr. and his hearings and everything else. Does he have anything to do, or does that have anything to do with this, or is it a completely different department?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He can either lean forward so we can rapidly develop and deploy vaccines and livestock. You know, if you eat beef, those cattle are vaccinated. Before they go into feedlots, they are certified that they've been vaccinated and protected. Your pork has been vaccinated and protected. Your dog, your cat, your horse is vaccinated and protected. But we don't vaccinate our poultry. We have avian influenza vaccines, not these necessarily strains, but we have general vaccine that may give some protection, but we won't vaccinate our birds. You've seen the price of eggs. We've lost between 8 and 10% of our total egg-laying population in the last 3 to 4 months. I mean, eggs, you know, in a lot of places, eggs are almost $1 a piece simply because we've lost the hens, and we won't do it because we're worried about that our foreign trade partners will not buy our poultry if we vaccinate. They buy our steaks, they buy our ground meat, they buy our pork. You know what? I think it's time that we vaccinate our chickens. We need to stop this disease.
So is this, I don't want to get you in a political conversation here because that's not my intent,
okay,
but is it about policy here with RFK Jr.? Does he handle any of this, or is that, are you concerned about that at all or not? I'm just worried about, as a consumer, what we should be concerned with.
Well, it will be in his, you know, in his cup of tea. So before it has not been, it's been about international politics, why we haven't vaccinated our poultry. But now on the front line, do we develop a mRNA vaccine, which we can develop quickly, you know, and other vaccines to vaccinate our poultry? And now looking at vaccinating our beef, you know, our cattle and our dairy cattle, or does he say, no, we're not going to do that? So we need them to lean forward with sound science. But yes, when you're talking about his influence over the Food and Drug Administration and, you know, the USDA, and all the other things that can have a major impact. And, you know, we're going to lean forward. We're going to, you know, say, look, we need to vaccinate because, one, you know, we don't, you know, if eggs double again, we're all in trouble. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is there's a lot of virus out there. And now you have seen that different strains are, you know, are from spontaneous either mutation or when the genetics reassort within a person or an animal, it comes out differently. Mm. So we need to get ahead of this.
Let me take a break, Mike.
And we need to vaccinate. We need to stop.
We come back because in addition to egg prices, then you got, you know, I saw the movie Rams, I mean, I told you about where they have guys in Australia and the sheep get infected and they got to destroy the entire herd. If you talk about,
correct,
and you can come back and talk about how many hens have already been, had to be destroyed in the country and what effect that could have, because you don't just recover from that immediately. We're talking to Mike Strain about bird flu in Nevada. We'll also talk about crawfish and tariffs and seafood testing and more when we come back. Mike Strain, our good friend, the Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. We're at the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row in the Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. Time now, WWL Traffic. 57, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. We're live at the Convention Center, and we're talking about, Mike, we were talking about bird flu and destroying livestock, but I want to move along quickly if we can. I was talking to AC Cooper about shrimp testing and enforcement of regulations and just the outrageous amount of seafood that's being sold is from the Gulf, and it's not in restaurants. Thoughts?
That's right. I was listening to you, and I know AC, and he's one, probably the biggest advocate for Louisiana shrimp that I know of. And so last legislative session, a number of bills were filed that have now become law. And we are really, really looking to figure out how we can, you know, curb the illegal imports. In other words, those that are contaminated with antibiotics and other things, also illegal labeling. So it's in, there are a number of different laws and a number of different agencies working simultaneously. And so for the labeling laws, any imported shrimp or crawfish where the package is deceiving, in other words, it says Boudreaux's crawfish, and you got, you know, a shrimp boat on there, and believe it or not, they put a shrimp boat on a crawfish packet. And then you have a scene of rural Cajun life, and when you flip over and you look on the back, it's imported. Well, under that, that my inspectors are looking at these packages, then I have to make the final decision. Then in that particular case, they got to put in 30-point font, which is big font, you know, a label on the front of the package. Failure to do so, first offense is $15,000, second is $25,000, third and thereafter are $50,000 per offense. And so this legislation was passed last year, went into law in July. We sent the 60 major importers, every importer we could find, we sent them a letter, said this is the law and this is what we're going to do. So that's one. Secondly, we are now testing for antibiotics at the state lab, the analytical lab. Tests are underway. We expect the first results in about a week, and this is an accredited regulatory lab. And so we started that. That all went into effect on about the 20th of January. And so we're testing, and these the results will be then sent over to Lieutenant Governor's Office, Seafood Safety Task Force, Wildlife and Fisheries, and Department of Health and Hospitals.
Thank you, Mike. Pleasure as always. Mike Strain, Director of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Wait, what I got? I'm confused here. Department of Agriculture and Forestry. I'm sorry, Mike.
And aquaculture.
I'm sorry, Mike. You got so much under your purview. We'll be back. WWL.